know about you guys, but I love that song. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and me. So what will your decision be? To follow him or not? Ah, children's church. First time I get to release you guys. Kids, time to go to children's church. One of those things they forgot to tell me. They said, get up and preach. I said, fine. He said, get up and preach. I said, okay. But oh my goodness, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and me. So what will your decision be? To follow him or not? What will your decision be? And that's what we're going to look at today is decisions. I'll be reading from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. A scripture that we're all familiar with. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. These verses we've all heard before. They're pretty self-explanatory. They're all about making the right decision, especially the decision about accepting Christ as your Savior. And that's the meaning of this whole scripture, is making the right choice when your eternity is involved, accepting Christ. But today, let's take it a step further and see if we can possibly find a secondary meaning to this passage on how these scriptures can affect our life today in our everyday life as we have to make decisions daily to do right, or to choose, or to decide to choose wrong. It's our decision. The scripture talks about making the right decision when a decision is to be made. Here we see a decision that must be made between two roads. The first is the wide gate and the broad road. And many will choose to take that road. And unfortunately, that gate or that road leads to destruction. It's a popular road that many people travel. And we hope and pray one day they'll look up and go, oh my goodness, why am I following the crowd? I think I'm on the wrong road. Have you ever made a wrong road driving somewhere? Have you ever made a wrong turn and gotten lost? What have I done? Says your spouse. What have you done? Didn't I tell you to turn right? Well, I turned right. Yes, but you didn't let me finish. I meant to say turn right here left. Have you ever made a wrong decision? Again, decisions is what we're talking about today. Many people like to take the wide path, the wide road, thinking that they have all the answers to their life, to their problems, to their wants. They have the mindset of they know exactly what they want out of life, and they will do whatever it takes to get it. You might have heard them say, I have the right to live my life my way and to do what I want to do. Does this sound like the right way or the wrong way? Sounds a lot like the parable of the lost son, doesn't it? Remember that one? I know what I want better than you do, Dad. Give me what's mine, I'm leaving. I know better than you do what I need and what I want. Give me what's mine. Well, guess what? Here in 2026, there's a lot of that same thought pattern going on. Except today, people are leaving their Heavenly Father to live life their way, because they have a choice to decide what they want to do. And face it, people like to follow the crowd, to be like everybody else, to do what is popular in society today, whether it's morally right or morally wrong. Frankly, they don't care. They just want to be part of the crowd. Then we read about the narrow gate, the narrow road, the road less traveled that leads to life, but yet only a few will find it. That road requires a true inner transformation due to salvation. That's a wonderful thing when you accept Christ as your Savior and He transforms you from the inside out. I never really knew what born again meant until I accepted Christ. And it's amazing when you accept Christ as your Savior. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And He does. Lord, take away my guilt. And He will. Lord, lead me. Help me, Lord, to follow You. I can't do it on my own. Help me. I remember when I was new at being a Christian, I'm like, I don't really know where to go or what to do. Teach me, Lord, please. You know what He said? Wonderful. Listen. Listen to my voice. Read my word. And then do what it says. In 1975, I had a friend of mine back in my college years give me a Bible. To this day, it looks brand new, prestige, beautiful, like it's never been touched. You know why? Because it never has been touched. They wanted so badly to lead me to Christ, they gave me a Bible with my little name on the cover. But every time I look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness, how many years did I waste when I had the Creator of the universe wanting to help me grow in Him? But oh no, I knew, but I'm not perfect. Just in case you didn't realize that. I thought I had all the answers. I knew what I wanted in my life. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. I resemble that remark. For those that don't realize that I used to be a professional clown. Still are. Thank you, Jed. But, you know, laugh. It's okay. God used that to prepare me for ministry. What do you mean? Well, I used to be shy. Yeah, right. But as a clown, you can't be shy. You've got to learn how to be in front of people, how to talk to people, how to get their attention, how to connect. And through all those years of clowning that started in, 1981? He knew where I would end up. And he used my past to prepare me for the future, just like he will you. I remember the day he said, George, you're going to be a preacher. Once again, my response was, yeah, right. I'm anything but that, Lord. Look at me. I'm performing. He said, oh, no. You're going to be a preacher. So I got my college degree in religion, took over 4 United Methodist churches, circuit. You go around to each church each week. And I got to preaching. But after a year or so, something was wrong. I could tell something was wrong. So I quit the churches. I quit seminary. I'm like, Lord, you said I was going to be a preacher. I did everything I could. And it's not working. I'm done. And I ran for like 20 years from God. But he never left me. And I'm from Atlanta. And I remember moving up here in 98. My wife and I would go to different churches. But I was still running from God, and I would find a reason not to go back to that church until I came here. And I remember we got back in the car after the service, and Sherry said, George, how'd you like this church? And I said, Sherry, they have something I don't have, and I want to know what it is. I felt at home when I went to that church. I want to go back. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I want to go back. I want to see what they have that I don't. And then I saw Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, an ad for that program that would be down at Expo. And that was a year or so of coming here every Sunday and going to a Sunday school class. Harold Griffin, oh my goodness, what a teacher. And there's so many other great teachers. If you don't go to Sunday school, you're missing out. You've got to go. It's wonderful. But Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. I said, Sherry, can we go? She's like, you know that's a Christian event. I'm like, yeah, but something says I need to go. So we go, and I'm sure I've told you the story, but there's a group on stage, and unfortunately, in the group, people die, and they go to the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, why should I let you in? Well, I'm a good person. I'm a church member. I give in the offering plate. I'm good to the old folks. I go to old folks' homes. I like people. I'm a nice guy. Everybody had excuses. And none of them were accepted. And the demons would come up and drag them down to hell. And periodically somebody would come up and they go, okay, why should we let you into heaven? Well, when I was 11, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The angels danced, and here they come. They're in heaven. But as I listened to the excuses on why certain people thought they should get in. I'm a nice person. I'm a good guy. I believe in God. I believe in God, so I should get into heaven. Even the demons believe in God. And what do? They shudder. But I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I've got a degree in religion. I'm a former pastor. I've got all the head knowledge. That's right. But you, my friend, somebody told me, you'll miss heaven by 18 inches. I'm like, what? You'll miss heaven by 18 inches. The distance between your head and your heart. And then that night, after the play was over, they said, he said, I want everybody to bow your heads. And if tonight you want to accept Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. I could. I wanted to. Honestly, my heart said, tonight's your night. So I raised my hand. I'm still, was still a little bit on the shy side, but I raised my hand. I could do that. He said, all right, put your hands down. Bring the house lights up. If you raised your hand, I want you to stand up. I'm like, oh, man, really? With hundreds and hundreds of people here, I've got to stand up. But then I heard and I felt God saying, yes, I want you to decide to stand up. Well, I stood up, but also hundreds of people stood up. He said, if you're standing up, I want you to come down front so we can pray for you. Really? And my wife, bless her heart, she says, you want me to go with you? I said, no. I have to do this by myself. I have to make that walk by myself. And as I walked down, I passed many of you walking down. Because I was afraid, because I knew a bunch of y'all were in the crowd. And I had y'all fooled thinking I was a Christian, because I knew how to act like a Christian, how to walk like a Christian, how to talk like a Christian. But I thought, oh my, what are they going to think of me now? But what I saw, as I saw church members from Jerusalem Chapel, they were smiling. I saw their tears as I was walking down. Well, we went down and they prayed for us. And oh my goodness, it was like the weight of the world when I said, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you went to the cross to pay for my sins and that you were dead and buried. Yet 3 days later, I believe you rose from the dead, proving that you had victory over death and that you are indeed God. Like the weight of the world off my shoulders when I decided to accept Jesus Christ, when I decided to go down the thin road, the road less traveled, that few find. Next time you feel God tugging at your heart going, you need to make a better decision than the road you're on now. Believe me, please take it. We got back in the car that night and I looked over at Sherry and I said, you know something? I'm not afraid to die anymore. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not afraid to die. And I wish I had the chance to get back into the churches to tell them what just happened. But how is that going to happen? My preaching days are over. I had four churches. How am I going to ever start preaching again? Trust me, God has a plan for you, and he will make it work. You might say, well, I think God wants me to do this. Well, do it. But not on your strength, on his strength. Say, Lord, I think you want me to, and I'm just going to throw something out. I think you want me to help in the nursery, but, you know, me and kids, especially those little ones. Ah. But if he places it on your heart, guess what? He will give you what you need. What about all the evangelists where he says, I want you to go somewhere? And where are you heading? Thailand. Pastor Stewart's on his way to Thailand this afternoon for a ministry. Can you imagine what he felt, what Billy Graham felt, what all the evangelists feel when God said, I want you to go outside the country and spread the gospel? Fear. Until you realize that God, if God leads you to it, he will take you through it. He will give you everything you need and equip you to do what it is he wants you to do. I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to help you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Look it up. Because he has a plan for you. He does not want you to go down the wide road following everybody else. He made you for a reason. He's got something planned for you that no one else has what he's got planned for you. Well, I'm too old. I don't think God can use me. Look at the Bible. Look at some of the ages. I love to ask folks, are you still breathing? Well, yeah. Why? Well, I got good lungs. No, wrong answer. My heart's still beating. Nope, wrong answer. Well, why am I still breathing then? Because God is not finished with you yet. God wants us to choose the narrow road that leads to life. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad that leads to destruction. He wants us to enter through the narrow road, the narrow gate. And many will go through that wide gate. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few that find it. Folks, don't miss your opportunity when it comes up. When you feel God pulling at your heartstrings. Saying, I want you to accept Jesus as your Savior. I've got a plan for your life that will just amaze you. You decide what road, what gate you choose to go through. And I'm not just talking about life before salvation, even though that's the most important decision you will ever make. But what about all the decisions you're going to make as a Christian for the rest of your life? You decide daily what road you're going to travel on. You'll decide daily what road do you take when you're faced with temptation or a decision has to be made between doing right and doing wrong. Have you ever noticed people out there that join a church, accept Jesus as their Savior, yet still follow the ways of the world? Folks, we choose daily what road we want to travel. And we should want to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. I might have told you over the years that I used to love to ask people one question. How has your life changed since you became a Christian? And the answers are wonderful. God has helped me through so many things in my life that I couldn't have gotten through without him. God has blessed me in so many ways, and they would try to tell me. But then once in a while, I would say, how has your life changed since becoming a Christian? And somebody would look at me with a blank face, and I don't know. I became a church member. I chose a church where all my friends went. I sit down there with them. I give a quarter when that plate comes around. I know all the hymns. I'm a good Christian. And folks believe it. Our life changes when we accept Christ as our Savior. Oh, my goodness. But there are those that still want to follow the crowd. Their priorities have not changed. Their focus on life and on God have not changed. Life just goes on as though nothing new happened to them or in them. Time and time again, when people talk about being saved, believe me, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. But we need to make sure that we don't want to follow the crowd any longer. Because you know something? When we're saved, when we accept Christ, the old life is gone. As I mentioned before, we're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's talking about a brand new life. The old is gone. The new is here. And I'm one to tell you, that is true. I fought becoming a Christian because I enjoyed life. I enjoyed what I was doing, and I didn't think I would have that much fun as a Christian because I had the wrong idea about Christians and what they're all about. But I can't stress it enough. God has a plan for each of you. Give him a chance. Lord, what is it? If you're trying to reach me, Lord, open my ears so I can hear you. Open my heart. Draw me to you, Father. And he will if you're listening. Our focus should not be on our old ways of following the crowd, deciding to do what's wrong. And I think we've all been there. We must decide to follow Jesus and change as he leads. And we must want his way over our way, which is against the world's thinking. Like I said, the world today has the mindset of I want everything my way, and I'm going to get what I want. Going back to following crowds, I don't know if you guys ever noticed it or not, but as I was growing up, I noticed a lot of folks following the crowd, doing shady things, claiming they were having fun, claiming they were living life to the fullest. Following the crowd may be fun for a while until you realize what you are doing is wrong. And then leaving the crowd can be difficult. Face it. Giving up bad habits is hard sometimes, isn't it? So this is where your faith in Jesus comes in. relying on God's strength and his plan for you, and then saying, "Lead me, Lord," and then following him. No matter what it is that is your vice in life, as people say, God has something better for you. I'm just going to grab something out of the air. If you've got a drinking problem, can you quit? Not on your own. But with God's help, you can. No matter what your vice is in life, and we've all got them, don't try to change by yourself. Not when you've got the creator of the world saying, "I'm here to help. Just ask me and follow my lead. Do what I tell you to do." Remember James 1:22. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Once we decide to follow Jesus, we need to read his word and do what it says. We need to choose the path of obedience. I read that this will help our faith grow. It will help us to make the right decisions when we're faced with temptation or a problem. Not sure which way to go. This is when a strong faith helps. And we read in Isaiah 30:21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it.'" Folks, if you ever feel God pulling you in a certain direction, go that way. He knows better than you. He has a plan for you. If he says turn to the right, turn to the right. If he says turn to the left, turn to the left. If he says turn to me, turn to him. I read that this is a promise of divine guidance. This verse assures believers that God will provide direction, even when we are unsure which path to take, by revealing the way, the right way, through his voice or a subtle inner voice. Knowing scripture or wise counsel can encourage us to trust God and obey God. God wants to help us to make the right decisions as far as what road we will choose daily, what gate we should go through. We must trust God and his directions for us. Then we read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding." That means thinking you got everything together. "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." God will help you make the right decisions daily. I've read that this means putting your full faith in God. In everything you do, trust God. Do not trust your own intellect. And acknowledge him in every aspect of your life so he can guide you and make your way clear and lead you down the right road on a daily basis to choose right over wrong. And lastly, Titus 2, 11 and 12. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." All people. Some don't take it. Some don't choose it. It's a free gift. "For the grace of God appears that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions and live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Again, we see God's word guiding us and telling us which road to take. Each time we face temptation or have a decision to make, we must go wherever he leads us. Enter through the narrow gates, for the wide gate is broad and the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through this, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it, even though it's offered to everyone. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So when faced with decisions to make, trust God, listen, and obey. Because he will lead you down the right road. But are you willing and ready to say, wherever he leads, I will go. I will follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I will go. Why did he go on that cross for you? To pay the price that you can't pay that would get you into heaven. What kept him on the cross? Was it those nails? No, it wasn't. He could have come off at any time. He chose to stay up there because he loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't let today go by. We got a couple things going on here in just a second. But if you want to talk about it, come find me. I'll pray a simple prayer with you, and your life will be changed. If there's a distance between you and God, we've strayed or you've strayed somehow for some reason, what a wonderful thing it is to find out, Lord, I've strayed. Draw me back to you. Help me to get back to you. Because he wants you right there with him. He's a loving father, a caring father. And we need to say, wherever he leads, I will go.
Would you please stand?